When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
You like our 7-inch leather heels and downloading all our shows, but do you love the Decibel Geek Podcast? Do you? And do you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter? If not, you may have missed out on this. A couple of weeks ago, we put out the call to all our friends all over the world to help us out with some thought-provoking, hypothetical KISS concepts, with a K, for us to talk about. And boy, did you guys deliver. Oh, by the way, this is the Decibel Geek Podcast, and I am Aaron Camaro. Chris Sinzak, he couldn't join me to do this week's introduction. Something about getting a cow's tongue grafted onto his own. He's very, very committed to Christmas in July. Oh, yeah. I'm sad to see it come to an end, but we're definitely going to have some fun with this one. Before we get into that, I want to thank our Christmas in July guests, Big John Hart, Pixie Esmond, and Denny Smith. Have you guys checked out The Great Affairs yet? Awesome band. Go check them out. Those guys were all cool enough to come on the show and share some great Kiss stories with us. And how great were Pixie's Peter and Ace impressions from last week, huh? So cool. Speaking of impressions, our writers at DecibelGeek.com have been cranking out the KISS articles all month long. Hoops did an uplifting positive series on the various members of KISS, which is a good thing. We need some positivity in our lives. Chris gave us all the heads up on the KISS Army book, which I recommend all you KISS fans get in on. Your fan story could be included in a KISS book. That's awesome. Phil Lesotte did some controversial, with a K, KISS album rankings, and we got a KISS fan confessional. I'm not going to say it, from the Meister, a guide to meeting KISS members for free from Blair Diabro, and a handful of really thought-provoking KISS articles from Baco. Check out the band Jesus Chrysler and the podcast Cobras and Fire. The latest Kissmas in July entry, however, comes from David Alpazar, who recounts his evening seeing KISS at their recent acoustic show in Highland, California. Now, David got to meet Paul Stanley and Eric Singer, who apparently not only listens to the show, but he also does a wicked Aaron Camaro impersonation. How cool is that? We got to get him on the show. I want to hear it so bad. All these articles are currently available for your reading pleasure right now at DecibelGeek.com. Plus that link to be included in the KISS fan book. Recommended. Go do that. I might even do that. So buy a KISS t-shirt while you're there because, you know, the next time KISS is in town, you're going to want to hear Eric Singer's Aaron Camaro impression. And that's the only way to do it. I've heard it's pretty funny. I'd love to hear it myself. But I better get moving before this ends up becoming a 3-hour podcast. Would that bother you? Some people might like that. There's a very important announcement coming up next week that will be very, very appealing to the people who want more Decibel Geek in their life. So right now, I gotta say it's very likely that you're hearing my voice because of iTunes. And we love iTunes and are very grateful for the sweet rankings they give this show all the time. But we really want to prove to them and the world that hard rock and classic metal is still very much alive and the loyal fans are still relevant and important. But, you know, let's face it, we're never going to beat Serial and Marin without some more iTunes reviews. So I wanted to give you guys a couple of great examples of some iTunes reviews that we recently got. The first one is just entitled Great Podcast, and it comes from our good friend Steve True, who's always sharing and supporting the show. And he says, I got pulled in by the Dada Albums Unleashed episode and became a loyal follower. Now I reek of Decibel Geek. How do you wash this stuff off? Seriously, this is a great podcast with funny hosts that cover the music from the 80s and beyond, but do so in an informative and entertaining way. It's like hanging with some friends, waxing poetic about the albums we bought and the shows we attended in the good old days. I may not always agree, but I always enjoy. I love the interviews and the albums Unleashed, which both contain great insight and great inside information that you won't get anywhere else. Keep up the good work, Chris and Aaron, and that comes from our friend Steve True. Here's another one for you. This one's entitled Who Wants to Be Lonely? And it comes from Chad P., who apparently owns a hairless cat. He says, I spend quite a lot of time traveling the western states for gainful employment. Between airplanes and rental cars, a person can get quite fatigued listening to grandma flapping her gums in the airplane seat next to you or listening to Rush Blowhard about his Save the World ideals on AM dial. Worse is listening to Boston's More Than a Feeling for the 1,436,870th time on the radio. Enter the Geeks. With their unique choices in music playlists ranging from the bizarro to the deep cuts, they give your ears and brain a chance to catch something new, something you missed, or something you haven't heard in a long time. Better are the interviewees they snag. This podcast isn't part of the press circuit where you hear a person do the same interview on three different podcasts over 2 weeks. They find the people they want to know more about, assuming correctly so, that you do too. If you want to hear John Corabi talk for over an hour about each song for Motley Crue 94, or Toby Wright actually say something nice about Kiss, then this is your place. If you want to hear Gwar sing the Pet Shop Boys, step on in. Want to hear some new wave of British heavy metal that isn't Iron Maiden? They have you covered. Subscribe and geek out. Thanks a lot. That comes from Chad P. and Steve True. And man, that's awesome. That's the way it's done. I like it a lot. So before we get into our good talk today, and Chris is going to be joining me here in just a second, I want to read off Geeks of the Week. These are the people that shared or retweeted last week's episode on iTunes or Facebook. And the list goes down like this. Geeks of the Week: Robert Jackson, The God of Thunder, Miguel Nunez, Podkissed, The Kiss Room. Hey, Kissmas in July doesn't have to end when you got Podkissed in The Kiss Room. I highly recommend you guys checking them out and supporting them as well. My good friend Cal Hintz shared it. Wayne Newburn, Greg McGlone, Casey Lee Michaels, Daniel Jackson, Kiss Army Omaha, what's up Nebraska? Rob Harris, Denny Smith, Darren Parkin, Ken Mills, Jeremiah Freery, Todd Cunningham, Daniel Dabbs, Steve True, Ron Stradamus, Justin A6, Mark Alden Taylor, Gino Ames, Warren Money, David Alpazar, Minnowland, Joe Royland, Sit and Spin with Joe, Julian Kundoff, Paul Korn, Mike Taylor, Michelle, holy shit, Brugnoni, I'm sorry. Robin Bennett, David Stonich, my man, Wayne Cross, Tony Mann, Robert Foster, Stephen Kirsch, Andrew Jacobs, Joe Lascon, Scott Ollinger, Billy Hardaway, Brian Knapp, Baco, Podcasts Are the Best, Jesus Chrysler, The Viking Girl, Ernesto Aguilar, Stephen Etchison, I think, Jim Glass, The Rockin' Donkey, All Over the Podcast, J Motown Drummer, Pep Pep, Nick Rose, Mikhail Burrell, Derek Novak, R.C. Campbell, Hoops, Nick Minow, Colin Francis, The Terrence and Mark Experience, Steve Yakin, Stealth, Adam Cox, The Mooger Fooger, Sven Isaacson, Kevin E. Williams, T.J. Cullen, Matt Bradshaw, Jody Havnot, Strange Ways, Alex Thorne, Viper, Daryl Alber, and Darren Helliwell.
All right, so we're doing something a little different this week.
Yeah,
we're going to try to wrap up Kissmas in July in style, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've had some really great guests this month. We had Big John, we had Denny, and then we had Pixie last week. So it was like guest heavy, but then it was kind of like, why don't we just do something, the two of us, and do it for fun, and then also on top of that, do something extremely interactive with you guys.
Right. Because we always got to do something with us. Last year we did the going solo thing, and that was kind of hard to top. You know, that was really awesome.
Yeah, but then this year was like, well, one of the things I noticed on Facebook is a lot of Kiss fans love to throw out what if scenarios,
yeah,
just for discussion.
And we were kind of talking about that, and I was like, you know, there's fan fiction for Star Wars and Star Trek, and you name it. You know, Game of Thrones. You know, there's. Why wouldn't there be any fan fiction for Kiss, of all things? Somebody could write a Kiss fan fiction book.
Right.
And so we thought, you know, what a good way to have some fun and just inspire some good Kiss discussion with a big what if.
Yeah, so we put the call out to you guys on Facebook, and we got some really good serious what ifs, and we also got a lot of good smart ass ones that we're going to read off, too.
Of course, these are our listeners we're talking about.
And I guess we're going to shoot for about a solid hour of this, so we'll just get as much in as we can in an hour. Maybe go a little longer, I don't know.
We'll see how it goes.
So you just want me to start reading off some of these?
Yeah.
Okay. Dave Robinson says, what if the internet wasn't invented, which would also mean that there would be no podcast? A, would Kiss have recorded more albums over the last 20 years as album sales stayed steady due to no downloading if the internet didn't exist? And what style would they be if they continued to chase whatever was currently popular? And B, with no podcast, what would you guys be doing with your time instead?
We'd be recording the Decibel Geek podcast and handing it out to people on cassettes wherever we went.
Yeah, or the Decibel Geek fanzine.
Right, yeah, right. Totally.
Let's see.
It's hard to say because with the advent of the internet, you know, the music industry has greatly changed and has been greatly reduced because of it as far as like album sales. So basically we're saying if things had stayed like they had in the like mid-90s, mm-hmm. you know, where albums came out and like today to get to number one, you have to sell a lot less albums than you did back in the day. So we're saying if that never changed, obviously Kiss would have, I would think, continue to put out more albums.
Sure.
Because there would have been a more, you know,
a market for it.
Yeah, more of the need for it, a want for it. So, you know, yeah, market. So obviously they're going to put out more albums over the years and continue on. And boy, that's tough. What would they be?
But the style, the internet, I don't know that the internet has necessarily affected what has been trending popular.
Right.
So I think musically they probably would have been about the same.
About the same as what they are now, because, you know, regardless of trends, internet or otherwise, Kiss had decided to sound-wise return to their roots, you know, and the last two albums I think kind of showed that. I know a lot of people bag on Sonic Boom and Monster, but, you know, maybe compared to early Kiss, not that great, but compared to a lot of other bands coming out with music nowadays, pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, I don't have complaints with the material they've put out since Psycho Circus. Not a big fan of that album.
I'm not a big fan of the Danger You, Danger Me, Dangerous
song. Yeah, that song's kind of lame. Okay, so let's go to another one. Brad Kalmanson, longtime listener of the show.
That guy.
Says, do you think Paul and Gene would invite Ace and Peter back for one last final show where Gene and Paul would absolutely have no deception, call it a career as far as playing in Kiss?
If it came down to it and said, okay, Paul says, you know, I can't continue on. Gene says, I don't want to continue on without Paul. You know, this is absolutely the end, whether that means Kiss 2.0 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Would they get back together with Ace and Pete for one last time? I don't know, man. If they were going to do it, you thought they'd have done it at the Rock and Roll Hall
of
Fame.
Yeah, if the as much of a train wreck as the whole Hall of Fame lead up became, I don't think so. And, you know, I understand they've had problems with Ace and Peter, and I'm a fan of the original lineup, so
yeah.
I would have loved to have seen it happen.
Yes.
But on the same token, I have to give Paul and Gene credit for being loyal to the current version of the band.
I can dig that too, but still, you know, as a fan of Kiss, you know, in all incarnations, the four original guys were the ones getting inducted. They should have done something.
No, I agree. I mean, it's just one of those things where I can kind of see both sides of the argument. But, like, as far as the official end of the band, if it was definitely 100% sure and, like, they knew there was no turning back and this was it, I could see them including Ace and Peter in something final, but I don't think they would bother doing a full show with just those four. I don't.
Nah,
they're way too tied to Eric and Tommy, and Eric and Tommy have paid their dues, so they deserve it, I guess. But and then he also followed up with, when do you see Paul and Gene calling it a career and having a reality show to replace them in the band? Will Eric and Tommy sign on for that? This has been a big talk on online forums, the Kiss 2.0 idea. I don't think Paul has a long time left. Of course, I said that 5 years ago, too.
Right.
So, you know, maybe he'll prove me wrong. My gut tells me that Paul will be done in probably the next year or two.
Yeah. What about the Kiss 2.0? What do you think of that?
I think it'll happen.
Yeah?
I kind of think it's cool. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that...
It's definitely unique.
It's a different idea.
And it's something no other band could ever truly do.
And one thing that I heard bandied about was that they were talking... Gene has become friends with Mark Burnett, the guy that created Survivor.
Okay.
And that there was talk about doing it kind of like a Rockstar Supernova thing where they would basically be auditioning on television the candidates to replace them and make it into a TV thing.
I'm sure.
And then, you know, launch the band from the television show. And with the way the music business is, TV definitely has a bigger grip on mainstream public than music does. Mm-hmm. I think it would work. I mean, I don't know. They're not going to play arenas with Def Leppard or anything like that. But for, like, maybe theaters and bigger clubs, I think it could be something that would make money. But I always kind of saw it as an official Kiss tribute band, maybe in Vegas.
Right. Yeah, I could see that. You know, as far as like coming out with new albums, writing their own songs.
That, I don't know if they're going to do that.
It would almost have to be like Gene and Paul getting together, writing right. all the music, and it'd be like the Monkees kind of.
But that goes back
to when the Monkees first started out.
That goes back to the whole, is it, what's the point in doing albums? You know,
yeah.
There's no money in it. You know, if people don't buy an album with Paul and Gene on it, they're not going to buy a tribute album.
Well, even at that, then you could say, you know, like Tommy Thayer, a lot of people's bitch about that is that he doesn't play uniquely. He doesn't play his own style. He plays Ace Frehley's style. So then how people would like to hear Tommy Thayer be able to rip some stuff out on his own, you know, in his own vein of style and, you know, influence. But if you had these other people that the songs were written for them, they're wearing the spaceman, the you know, all the makeup, the costumes, all that, and they're just Kiss 2.0, people are going to wonder, you know, what are these guys, what would they sound like if they came out with their own stuff, you know? So there would always be that. So it would either have to be one, just basically a glorified, official, you know, stamped approval cover band.
Yeah.
Or it would have to be a band that actually comes out with some new music that maybe Gene and Paul writes for them.
I don't think it would go that far.
I would almost prefer it that way. I don't. Why just a cover band, you know?
Oh, I would prefer it that way too, but we're the vocal minority. I don't think the majority of Americans aren't going to give a crap about new music. They don't care about new music from Gene and Paul.
And they all need new makeup and new characters.
Yeah. Well, that's...
No copycats.
Yeah, that was... Let's use that for leading into another one, because here's... Brian Murphy asked, what if Eric Carr was the next Catman and Vinny was the next Spaceman? What if there was no Fox or Egyptian Ank?
Well...
Would it have made a difference?
I don't know that it would have, you know, because I don't think it would have either, because both of those guys would have willingly done that at the time.
Yeah, it's a job.
Yeah, because Eric Carr really didn't have no say. They would have said, hey, you're going to be the Catman. He's going to say, yes, sirs. You know,
well, it's either that or you go back to fixing stoves.
Right. So he would have totally done it. Vinnie Vincent, he didn't, you know, from all accounts, never gave a damn for the makeup, really liked it. You know, we talked to Desmond Child. He made it, you know,
John Hart.
Yeah, when John Hart told us, you know, a couple weeks ago about how Vinny just didn't really adapt well to the pageantry and the costumes that come along with being in Kiss at that time.
Yeah, he almost wanted to be more like a Rolling Stones type.
Right,
just
so
put your jeans on.
It's like, I don't care what the makeup or the costume is. I don't like any of it anyway. Yeah, you want to paint me up like the spaceman, whatever. You know, so they both would have totally done it. At the time, would it have been as even more of an outrage at that time because of Kiss having more of a...
I mean, they were still a fresher band at the time.
Yeah.
I
think
that's a good
question. There would have been a huge backlash to think that.
The magazines would have been all over it.
Yeah.
It would have actually sparked more interest in them had they done that. Even though it's negative attention, it would have gotten more people involved.
Right.
Because really at the time, the best press they could get at that time was the whole Satan worshiping thing.
That's true.
You know, it was funny because, like, you know, we, at the time, you know, the band was kind of out, like, you know, look at us, we're the victims of these horrible preachers.
Right.
I think they were happy to get that kind of press because they needed it at the time. It got them on TV, it got them in the papers.
That's true. Got them on Oprah.
The Creatures of the Night era was them at their lowest. As much as we love it as fans, it was a low point of the band. Paul tells that depressing story about throwing a pick and it going over the audience, and he could hear the pick hit the floor.
Oh, man.
I mean, they played shows that were that badly attended. So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
But I don't think the makeup would have made too much of a difference.
I don't think it would have helped them too much.
No.
I mean,
I think it was time for it to come off either way.
Yeah.
They were looked at as a dinosaur band by 82.
Right.
And Motley Crue and bands like that were taking over.
But with Ace and Peter still being young, I think the outrage and the backlash would
possibly
have been even more than what it is today.
Yeah, probably. Let's go to another one. Phil Trzynski, it's another name like me.
Like yours, yeah.
He says, the best what if for me is, what if The Elder was never made and they went into the studio with then new drummer Eric Carr and recorded the heavy rock record they promised? Maybe Ace would have further withdrawn and may have stayed.
I think you would have. Because, you know, by all accounts, you know, that was the straw that broke the camel's back for Ace Frehley and Kiss was... the Elder. You know, they actually went and recorded tracks that were supposed to be more hard rock stuff. They went to the Ace in the Hole studios and did all
but
that.
But have you heard some of those?
No.
I have. I have the demos. Yeah. And some of there's pieces of greatness on some of them. But overall, you could tell they were struggling to find something. And that's why the Elder happened. Because they were kind of out of ideas.
Be like, well, we ain't got nothing. You know, here you go, Bob Ezrin. Well, you tell us what to do.
They're coming off of Dynasty, which was a bit of a left turn. And then Unmasked was a huge left turn.
Yeah.
So stylistically, they were lost. And the Elder came about because those, I mean, from what I gather, those songs they did in Ace's thing, that the relationship was already poor with Ace at that time.
Yeah.
And then Eric was a new guy and hadn't really quite fit in yet. And I think they were just struggling to gel. Because, like I said, there's moments of really cool stuff, but it doesn't sound cohesive.
I suppose. And you're pulling Gene and Paul out of their luxury penthouses and sticking them in a smelly hole in the ground in Ace Frehley's backyard.
Hey,
they probably weren't too happy to be there.
There's a few interesting things. Like, there's... You know, people kind of gave titles to these demos because they were just demos, but fans gave them titles. But there's one, I believe it's called Council of the Elder.
Oh, yeah. And it's this, that's cool.
That was one of the tracks recorded, as far as I know, from Ace's house.
Yeah.
And it's got a very, like, big Zeppelin Achilles Last Stand type feel to it. That's some great stuff. But it's not really original either. So, I mean, I don't know that they were in a good headspace. And then Elder, you know, and then Gene had that story and tells Bob about it. And then Bob's like, well, I just did The Wall. And then they're like, well, why don't we try to make our version of The Wall? Which you can't
Except
do that if you're Kiss.
Kiss isn't Pink Floyd.
Yeah, it's a difference.
It just don't work that way.
Okay.
In retrospect, you know, it's easy to say.
I'm trying to get to as many, because like Brad Kalmanson had a bunch of good questions, but I'm trying to get as many people as we can here.
Okay.
Steve True says, what if The Elder was a success and Kiss made many, many, many more concept albums?
Wow, that's a damn good one right there, because that really changes the trajectory of Kistery.
Mm-hmm.
If they come out, they, you know, Dynasty was its thing. It was a success, but not for hardcore Kiss fans. Unmasked, you know, really kind of alienated them even further.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I got to think the only way The Elder could have been a success would have been if they would have picked up an entirely new fan base with it.
That's what they were trying to do.
And then, therefore, you know, they would have completely become a different band. So then, you know, Ace Frehley, either then at that point, I think it would have killed Ace Frehley.
I think Ace would have killed himself.
He would have been, Ace Frehley would have died. That's the first thing would happen. I don't know if it would have been instantly or something brought on over time.
It would have been like the ultimate bender that would have ended him, probably.
Totally, because he would have been locked in then. Now they're a huge success.
Yeah, what do you do?
And he was wrong.
Right.
You know, he was so wrong about the hard rock and sticking to your roots and all that, you know.
Yeah.
And well, so now he's got to eat his words, but he's got to take the money and he's got to go along with it. He's unhappy, dead within a week.
The initial concept was to do three albums. They were going to make it a trilogy.
Wow.
And I don't remember the title of the third one, but the second one was going to be called War of the Gods.
See, maybe that would have been like the heavier one. It's like, okay, now we got to come back with like the Revenge of the Sith of our trilogy. This is the dark one here.
But like, I still think War of the Gods is a great title for an album.
For a Kiss album, yeah, it is. Can you imagine the cover? If they'd have got
somebody online did a really cool like fantasy cover of it.
Yeah.
Like it was like a Conan the Barbarian figure like holding up an upside down like axe guitar with a lightning hitting it. Yeah. And it said War of the Gods. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy that things didn't turn out that way. There's a time and a place for concept albums, but for Kiss, I'm not a fan of that stuff.
There's a time and a place, but it's nowhere in the Kiss catalog.
I mean, the Destroyer album was loosely a concept album. You know, Ezrin did that too.
Yeah.
With the whole, the car accident thing and everything. And then the rock and roll party thing that plays on a loop at the end is supposed to be like him ascending into heaven.
Oh, really?
Or into hell, depending on who you believe. That's a theory, you know. I know for some people
depending
hearing Kiss on a loop. Yeah. But no, I'm glad they didn't do it. If they had become like a concept album band, that would have been strange.
Because imagine, what if The Elder would have sold, you know, and went like in the top 10?
And if they kept that look, there'd be no.
They said, "Oh, we just found our meal ticket. This is it,
this
guys.
Is it.
We found.
We're
it.
Sticking this is, with this.
Yes, we're going on tour with Yes next week.
Yeah. And that look, like there'd be no room for Manowar, like you know, the whole medieval thing, or maybe Manowar would have been bigger because of Kiss's influence. I don't know.
I don't know. Crazy.
That's an interesting question.
That's a good one. I like that.
Let's see. What if Vinny had done a few lead vocals on Lick It Up? That's an interesting question.
You know, I don't see why not. Vinny Vincent's a good singer.
He's a very good singer. And there was a... Did you see, in the last week or so, there was some website that did an article on the band Warrior that Vinny was in, before, you know, with Hirsch Gardner that we talked
right,
to.
From New England.
Yeah, and, you know, they put up some of the demos from that. And you know, and all the guys in the band were like, we couldn't understand why he wanted a guy that could sing with all the high range when Vinny himself had a very powerful rock and roll voice.
Soulful, yeah, and, good stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, if you listen to those demos, like the
Back in the Streets,
Back on the Streets is much better with him singing.
Yeah,
and no, I love Robert. Believe
I do
me,
too. But yeah, I gotta agree. It seems like it's more suited for Vinny Vincent. You know?
He
and
wanted.
The dude
to,
was a good singer. He probably, you know, if. He probably should have got a song on Lick It Up, at least one.
Yeah,
but maybe again, that's Gene and Paul's way at that point to make everybody know who's working for who.
Yeah,
and whose band this is.
That question comes from Lee Mike, so I want to make sure I give credit to everybody who we're talking about.
I would have enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, I would have too. Well, speaking of Vinnie Vincent, Dave Nichols asked, "What if Vinnie Vincent came on Decibel Geek?"
That would be pretty dang awesome. I would say.
I think
it would be. It would be a trip for sure.
I would ask for what the temperature in hell is, and because I'm sure it would be pretty cold.
Yeah,
yeah. I would.
I still stand by this by the belief that if he were to do any podcast, why wouldn't it be the Decibel Geek podcast? You know,
because I can't afford it.
We can't. Well, I'm saying that's the big what if. If what if Vinnie Vincent were to grant a free interview?
Yeah.
You know, with the Decibel Geek podcast, here's what would happen. We'd have Vinnie Vincent on. We'd ask him a bunch of cool questions. We'd have a great conversation with him. And when he was over, he'd probably want to be our best friends, you know, because when it comes down to it at the end of the day, I think we've been almost stereo, you know, typed as a Vinnie Vincent hating show.
And, we're not.
But we're so far from that because we both really do truly respect Vinnie Vincent in the fact that he's an amazing musician who's written a great many of our favorite songs, who was in our favorite band, and, you know, is just awesome on guitar. We love the guy.
Well, musically, I have no complaints.
Right.
But, you know, you can't deny that there's issues going on business-wise. And, you know, everyone that ever talks about him talks about that stuff. So, you know, I'm not going to pretend that stuff that happened didn't happen.
Right.
So, you know, that doesn't make me a hater, though. That
no.
just means you examine it.
Sure. You know, and we, you know, might ask him some questions he might not feel comfortable. Okay, let me rephrase that. Chris would probably ask him some questions
oh, thanks.
That he wouldn't be
Throw
comfortable
me under the bus.
With. You know, but...
I would.
See, we would play good podcast or bad podcast or whether
right.
everything would work out in the end. Trust us, Vinny.
Yeah, I guess the proof in that was when we did the Mark Slaughter interview. And I was like, I had like a handful of questions and I was like, maybe I shouldn't ask these. And then we sit down and then I'm like, okay, let me hit him with this one and this one and this one. And it's just like, forget it. Who knows when I'm going to talk to you again? Let's just do this.
You're a hell of a journalist.
Yeah, right. Or fanboy one. But no, believe me, I hope, Dave Nichols, I hope that happens.
Yeah, if you know Vinnie Vincent, tell him, come on the Decibel Geek podcast. Those guys love you, whether you've been told or not.
Here's a name I love. I hope it's a real name. This guy's name is Josh Jostofferson.
Nice.
He says he has a
lumberjack.
He has a handful of questions here. Let me see if I can... Let's see. Well, here's a good one. What if Kiss had never put on makeup? Would they have made it on their music alone? Drinking beer, so sorry for the...
That's tough to say. That would be a good one to ask somebody who was in the New York scene at that time.
Yeah.
You know, ask somebody from Hanoi Rocks or ask somebody from the New York Dolls. You know, the guys that were playing around in that area at the time. Ask, you know, bands that were around, maybe not Hanoi Rocks, but, you know, all those bands that we talk about, the Planets and all those guys, what their picture, because they all say the same thing. this band was ridiculous, and they weren't that good at playing their instruments. Talking about the very early stuff.
Yeah, if you listen to the early soundboard recordings, they weren't that great.
Right. I mean, but again, you know, like Desmond Child said, back then they had were afforded the opportunity to get better as they went, you know, and get to the point where they were professionals.
Yeah.
You know, early on, not all that great. That's where the question comes in. Without, you know, and all their contemporaries said, oh, these guys are stupid. But somebody saw that and said, that's money.
Well, Neil Bogart signed them on Music Alone.
Yeah.
He hadn't even seen them.
Really?
He heard the demo tape and loved the music.
Well, there you go.
And then he saw them and he's like, I don't like this makeup stuff. So, you know, he was turned off by it.
I don't believe they would have been the phenomenon.
No.
That they were.
I think they could have made it as a band and like lived off music.
I think it could have got as big as, you know.
They'd have been like a Piper or something like that, maybe. Or Stars or Angel or, you know.
Nazareth?
Yeah, Nazareth was pretty big, though.
I think they would have been on level with Nazareth.
Maybe. Or Budgie, you know, bands like that.
Bigger than Budgie, I think.
I think they would have could have made a living at it, but they wouldn't have blown up like they
Black
did.
Black Sabbath would have allowed them to open for them all
Yeah,
tour
but they
long.
Would have never gotten to Sabbath level.
No, I don't think so. Sabbath
And
would
that's
ever.
Not a put down on them. It's just with Kiss, it was the whole package.
Right.
That's what made them, that's what separated
exactly.
them.
Exactly, yeah. And that's a good thing.
You had it all. You had good songs and you had the spectacle on top of it.
I don't think they would have had a pinball machine made in their likeness.
I don't think so.
But the music would have been good because it would have been for music's sake alone. And, you know, would Rolling Stone have loved them maybe?
Maybe.
Probably not.
I don't know.
If the music was the same, I guess.
Yeah, I guess not.
Because it was still, the music was
Rolling
still too
Stone
much fun.
Rolling Stone was all about the Talking Heads and Blondie and Lou Reed and shit like that.
They don't know nothing about having fun.
What, I like that he purposely misspelled it, but what if Bob Kulick was Kiss's first guitarist instead of Ace Frehley? That's from Matt Jones.
Ace Frehley?
Yeah, he's making a joke, I think.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I think I've tried to type Frehley into my phone, and it autocorrects to Frehley. Ace Frehley. But what if Bob Kulick got the job instead of Ace? What do you think it would have made a big difference?
Because the only real reason Bob didn't get the job is because of his hair, right?
I think so. I mean, Bob had hair back in those days. He wasn't bald. He did have hair. He had hair when he played with Meatloaf.
Yeah.
But I think Ace...
I always assume that the only reason, because Bob Kulick is an amazing guitar player.
Yeah, he is. But...
And, you know, I don't know. You know, they knew him. He's obviously a good guy because they've worked with him continuously
over and over
the years. And so I wonder why, what was it? You know, was it just the fact that Ace Frehley walked in and they were just like, holy shit, look at this guy. We just forgotten everybody else that's already tried out, or?
The story of the tryout's funny, though, because the way Gene tells it, they were talking to Bob and they were like getting ready to set up follow-up jam times
because
they were impressed with him. And then Ace just walks up, plugs his guitar in while they're talking and starts playing over them talking. And Gene's like, did we ask you to plug in? Unplug your guitar and sit the fuck down and wait your turn. I mean, that was Gene's first interaction with Ace.
Yeah.
It was Ace basically being inconsiderate.
Right.
And then from what the story is, then Ace, when he got called up to play, they played Deuce. They ran through it once, and then they told him when to come in on the solo. And when he came in, they all instantly looked at each other like, this is the guy.
And Bob Kulick looked at his shoes.
Yeah, I get. Well, yeah, his matched, though.
Shazam. That was awesome.
But no, I mean, from what I gather, they just felt that chemistry when they played Deuce together. They were like, this is the band.
That's a hard one to imagine. How would the band have been different, and how would that have changed the trajectory, and would it have changed the trajectory?
Ace was such a signature part of that early sound.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, Bob had similar feel, but something about Ace, Bob was probably technically a better player than Ace. You know, as far from a technical standpoint.
I can see
but
that.
But Ace has this mix of flash, but with style, flash and ability or whatever.
Yeah.
The whole flash and balls thing is bullshit. It was said flash and ability. And but it was true. He was sloppy, but just to a certain point. But he had swagger on with his playing.
Well, and that's the thing, I think, that, you know, anybody that loves Kiss and loves Ace Frehley, you know, the respect comes in with Ace Frehley when he comes into the
the conversation of guitar greats, it's not his technical ability, it's his style.
Yeah.
You know, and Ace Frehley has such a unique style that you, when you hear it, even if you don't know it's him, you hear it and you think, yeah, that's Ace Frehley, or somebody that really likes Ace Frehley a lot. You know?
Well, and also in the early days, I think through Dynasty and maybe on Unmasked, he had an incredible knack for coming up with solos that you could hum to yourself.
Yeah, totally.
And memorable little harmony line, you know, melody lines on his solos where they would stick in your head. That's one thing I miss from him. I love Space Invader. I loved Anomaly. And I love sometimes during Frehley's comment and a little bit on Trouble Walking, he came up with the goods on solos. But over the last couple albums, that's the one big element that I think is missed. I don't hum any of the solos.
I don't know about that, man. There's some of them solos on there that are very singable.
Like which ones?
Well, what about like Into the Vortex?
Riff part for the solo is great. But the solo parts themselves is really just him noodling, I think. I don't think they're that well thought out.
I think they fit pretty good.
I mean, they fit fine, but they're not memorable like they were in the 70s.
Have you listened to Space Invader over and over and over again,
of course.
You did Dynasty when you were a kid?
I did it first. Yeah, I was constantly.
Yeah.
But that's the one thing that I miss in his playing is I think he has gotten a bit lazy with the way he writes his solos.
Yeah,
and you know I was going to say he came up with good stuff on Psycho Circus, but that's a whole joke. But
came up with some stuff.
The stuff that he played on, yeah. You know, Tommy Thayer played it, came up with some good stuff for him.
Right.
But no, I mean, I'm not going to bash Ace. But I mean, I don't know. Well, we're talking about Bob Kulick. But no, Bob Kulick would have been...
Oh, you guys start talking about Ace Frehley and you walk over to the dude with the sneakers and totally forget me over here.
Right. But I mean, Bob Kulick would have been more than capable of being in the band. But
totally.
I think Ace is such a... I think all four of them, and they were all four necessary ingredients to what happened.
The stars aligned with them.
You had to have those four guys to do it, I think.
Yeah, probably right.
And Peter, you know, some people are like, well, he wasn't any John Bonham or Neil Peart, but no, but he was the right guy at the right time.
Yeah.
And that jazz, Gene Krupa, you know, trained him on how to play when he was a kid. And that jazz element, I'm not saying Peter was a jazz drummer because Peter's not technical enough to be a full-on jazz drummer, but he had jazz influences in his playing.
Yeah. There's a lot of swing in those Kiss songs.
A lot. And like he comes from a different school. Like hard rock is not what he likes.
Right.
But that's what makes Kiss sound different.
And that's what made his solo album so weird.
Yeah, that's true. You're still mad at me, Peter. Let's see. What if Mark St. John never got the hand condition? How long is he in the band?
The hand condition?
That's from David Lawrence.
Is that with quotation marks around it?
The writer syndrome.
Yeah.
What do we think about that? I don't think he lasts long either way.
I don't know. You know, that's such a strange thing that you know, Mark St. John's story, the mystery in it where, you know, was there even a hand disorder? I've heard otherwise.
Oh, there was. There's pictures of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, his hand was clearly huge and he had something going on. But I've talked to other people. I think we mentioned it on the show with Denny that I think it might have been a convenient excuse to let him go. And why? I don't know. I mean, like, he clearly didn't click personality-wise with the guys.
Right.
There was a huge, long interview with him. I think it was on a website called Kiss Asylum years ago. And it's a very detailed interview about his time in the band. And there's some people that are not wired to be in a band like Kiss.
Yeah.
And he's one of them. And he admits it himself. Like, he got into New York to audition, and once he got the job, he wasn't even sure if he was happy about it. Because he was like, these guys are so different than I am, and we don't... Like, Paul and Gene were very controlling over him, according to what he said.
I suppose that'd be like you or me or any other normal person all of a sudden getting hired by Kiss, you know, to do an album.
Mm-hmm.
Go on tour and all that. You know, you'd be so... You know, mind blown by the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is awesome, but it's also really strange. And I've been thrust in this whole thing because I'm a damn good guitar player.
Oh, he was, too. He was an amazing guitar
player. It's hard to imagine, you know? And I got to imagine that, you know, his experience was probably a lot like that.
Well, he would mention that, like, there was a whole to-do over him drinking regular Coke instead of Diet Coke. It was like, if you want to be in the band, you have to wear diet. You have to drink Diet Coke.
How stupid.
And shit like that. And like, if you don't do this, you're fired. And you know we can fire you, right? And I think
I can't imagine.
And he may have been a victim coming on the heels of Vinny.
Right. So, you know, how long did it take us to totally mentally fuck Vinny Vincent? Let's see if we can beat that record with Mark St. John.
That's one side of it. Or you could look at the other side of Vinny was such a nightmare to Paul and Gene.
Right.
That they were like, we're not letting the next guy get out of control like Vinny did.
Right. We're going to tell him what kind of soda to drink and everything.
Exactly. But it's such an interesting way to look at it either way. But like, I don't know, if Mark St. John had stayed in the band, what do you think they would have, that would have been more of the same on Animal Lives?
I would guess so, because Mark St. John really did have his own style.
He did. I mean, that Animal Lives record sounds nothing like the rest of the catalog.
No, I mean, they're obviously Gene and Paul singing the songs, but yeah, that album's way different musically.
I don't know. I'm happy Bruce came along.
Yeah, me too.
Because that was my kiss, was the Eric Carr and Bruce Kulick.
Right.
That was what got me into him. So I don't know. That's an interesting question. I don't know how long. I don't think Mark would have lasted long either way, though. I really don't. Because I think personalities were problems there. Let's see. Oh, this is a good one. A few people brought this up. What if Eric Carr hadn't passed away? This is another Dave Nichols question. Would he be in the band now with Fox makeup or Cat makeup? And like somebody else had asked, we'll roll this into two questions into one. Would the reunion have taken place with Eric and the Fox makeup?
I bet it would have.
Because they did not want to work with Peter. I think they felt like they had to make concessions to get Peter back in the band.
You know what? I'd almost go as far to say that if Eric Carr would have lived, he would have been a part of the reunion. Kiss reunion, the Psycho Circus album would have been more of an album.
Like a band album.
Like a band album, as far to the point that I think that lineup would probably still be around today.
With Ace and Eric Carr?
With Ace and Eric Carr, putting out some of the best music of their careers.
Yeah. Well, and that's, somebody also brought up on one of these things that, you know, what, like somebody said, what do you think we would have gotten had Eric Carr and Ace Frehley stayed together in the band? And also, what about Eric Singer and Ace Frehley in the band? Because both of those lineups, I feel like we got shortchanged on, material-wise, and I think both lineups had a lot of potential.
Yeah, I would have liked to have heard more. You know, I think either one, you know, and that's like, I don't want to take anything away from any drummers, because, you know, drummers are so important, and there is an ability, you know, even though it's a misconception that a drummer's a drummer, you're just playing that beat. No, there's different ways to create your own different styles on drums as well. And, you know, I know like Ace Frehley is even going as far to say, you know, yeah, it's important for me to be in the band and me to be wearing the makeup. And then when they ask about Eric Singer, like, yeah, whoever's playing drums, you know.
Right.
But I think Eric Carr, you know, just like Eric Singer, I don't know. I guess as far as like teaming up with Ace Frehley, the kind of drummer that Ace Frehley wants that Anton Figg. He wants that Eric Carr. He wants that Eric Singer. He wants that Bonham.
Right.
You know, and Ace Frehley always seems to find a Bonham for every album, every project he does. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes back to the difference in producers. Ace Frehley wanted the Eddie Kramer, you know, that fits right along with where his comfort zone is at. So I got to believe that, you know, like I said, you know, with Eric Carr in the band, Ace, figure the reunion time. Reunion time comes, Eric Carr is still in the band. Eric Singer has never even had anything to do with Kiss other than playing drums on Paul Stanley's solo tour.
Right.
Okay. Eric Carr is still very much a part of the band. Then the reunion basically becomes, can we get Ace Frehley back?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there going to be backlash on that? Of course, you know, because people are going to say, hey, we want Peter back for the reunion of the original four. I think there'll still be some backlash. But I would like to think that if it would have been done that way, it would have been a great thing that we'd still be enjoying to this day.
Well, it's kind of a bummer that, like, with the Ace and Eric Carr lineup, all we got was the Elder. Mm-hmm. You know, we really got shortchanged on that deal. Because it could have been something so cool, but we got robbed of it. And then Ace and Eric Carr, I got excited. You know, I love Peter Criss, but, like, I got excited when I heard Eric Carr was going to join on that tour, the farewell tour, and start playing. Because then I was like, oh, are we going to get an album with this lineup? Because it just seems like it would be an awesome lineup to put together.
I would think so.
But it didn't happen.
No.
All right, let me...
Because, you know, even with Eric Carr still in the band, Ace would have been happier, I think.
I think you would have too. For some reason, everybody like looks at Ace and Peter like they were the best buddies, but they really weren't.
No, and I think Ace got along. It seemed, you know, from what I've heard and seen, that, you know, Ace actually got along with Eric better than he got along with Peter, because those two fought all the time too, you know?
Yeah, they did. Here's a good one from Kent Bennett. What if Alive was never released?
Wow.
Would there still be a Kiss? Because they were...
I don't think
so. They were broke. They were about to be done.
So. I think it would have, yeah, by all accounts, that would have been the end of Kiss. They would have no longer got any support. And...
Well, not necessarily, though, because Warner Brothers was ready to sign them.
Yeah.
I think it was Warner Brothers. Some other... Warner Brothers or Paramount... Or not Paramount, but... There was another record company ready to take them... Ready to take them on. Because before Alive came out, Alive had been recorded, mm-hmm. and they weren't releasing it yet because Casablanca was broke, and there was another record company ready to scoop them up. I think it was Atlantic. Now that I think,
along
about
with
it.
The Live album.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about the Live. Well, I think because Billy Coyne started getting ready to file papers against Casablanca because Casablanca owed them money.
Yeah.
And Bill was like, you know, you guys have been great to us, but we have to do something here. And the Johnny Carson album stiffed so bad for Casablanca that they almost went under.
Right. Yeah. I remember being told about that.
And I found that at a record shop a few months ago.
Really?
And I bought it.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like,
just
I have to have it.
Historic purposes.
It's called Here's Johnny. But no, it like I guess they were Casablanca was going to go under, and then they put it out basically under duress.
Yeah,
and then it blew up. But I think another record company would have seen the potential because they were selling a few hundred thousand of each of the first three albums.
Yeah, and that's not bad. You
but
know,
Alive is what blew the doors open,
right?
Because they weren't really stars yet.
No, and that's what I think, because when the people went and seen them live, they were so blown away. And like they said, you know, that's a souvenir of the night that you seen Kiss. And
right.
Everybody had to have it.
Yeah, let me find...
Some that was never really truly captured on the studio albums, as great as they were.
Okay, here's one. I don't know if I can pronounce this guy's name. Øyvind Jensen. And I know this guy through Facebook because he's doing a three-dimensional graphics version movie of The Elder. He does like 3D graphics.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
He says, what if Kiss in 1980 realized they had already written some of the best rock songs there is and used their imagination and creativity choosing new projects? Considering they were one of the unique bands of all time, the hair band era was such a big step back. So he's asking, like, what if they... I guess more in line of what if they had continued maybe doing more concept stuff instead of, you know, trying to be Motley Crue Jr. and Bon Jovi Jr.
Yeah.
I became
is that,
a fan
is that like
during
saying,
that time.
What if they would have kept their makeup on throughout the 80s?
I guess that's possible, too.
That would have been... you know, again, you know, like you say, by then they were kind of looked at as being dinosaurs, and the makeup was kind of an anchor to them at that point. You know, but the 80s were so image important that, you know, and it's funny because you think through the 80s, what was the number one thing, the very first question off everybody's lips when they interviewed Kiss? Why'd you take the makeup off?
Yeah, always.
And the number two question, when are you going to put the makeup back on?
Right.
And, you know, they say, when are you going to put the makeup back on? So then you got to think in the 80s, people really, really wanted it, you know, because like I said, everything was so image based, MTV. Imagine the videos they could have put out if they would have kept the makeup on in the 80s.
That's what blows me away is that I Love It Loud was not a hit.
No, because the video was awesome.
It's one of the coolest videos ever made, in my
opinion.
Yeah,
mine too.
I mean, I think even Chris Lent writes in that book that he did, like, it, everything was set for them to be darlings of MTV.
Yeah.
Because they were an image-based band.
Right.
But everyone viewed them as old, schlocky, you know, dinosaur rock.
See, and I can't imagine that when you think of that video for I Love It Loud and how cool it was and how, you know, that set a tone for a lot of hard rock videos after that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get to... Well, here's a good one. This was the first response I got when I put this up on the post for this up on my Facebook page.
Okay.
And this is from Joe Polo, our friend from Podcast Rock City.
Awesome.
He says, what if Ace Frehley had died the night he got electrocuted?
Boy, that's a tough one.
What would the band have done then?
Obviously, you know, because they were already at a very high rate of popularity at that point. They were already, you know, on the cusp of being the greatest band in the world at that time, right?
Oh, that was
we're talking
pretty much 77.
So yeah. They're already
that's
there.
That is the height.
That's the mountaintop. They would have had to replace him and continue.
It's
right?
Too much money on the table. They can't.
Because he's dead. You know, you got to go on. They would have to have like stop the tour, go back to New York, immediate guitar. You know, you look at the guys that maybe. Because at this point, Kiss could have anybody. So the question would be, if Kiss was because again, they would want an unknown person, like they do with Eric Carr. They would want an unknown.
There was a teenager in Oregon that would probably fill in pretty good.
From Oregon,
yeah. It's a guy named Tommy Thayer.
Oh yeah, too young.
Yeah, probably too. He was probably like 15 at the
12
time.
Years old. Yeah. You can't be in Kiss.
Yeah. That's an interesting question. They would have had to have continued, I think. They don't have it in their mindset to just call it quits. Zeppelin was a special case with Bonham. But no, Ace, everyone's replaceable in Kiss, I think.
And I think if that was, I wonder if they would have, if Ace would have died that night, if they would have just put somebody else in.
Oy.
You know what? Here's what I bet might have happened. They might not have told anybody that Ace
and
died.
Replaced it with somebody
replaced
else.
Replaced him with somebody else and never told anybody.
That would have been fucked up if they did.
Ace is the walrus. Cuckoo, cuckoo.
Yeah. Here's a good one from Dan Miles from Friends of Dan podcast. Says, what if renowned opportunist Gene Simmons had married renowned opportunist Sharon Osbourne?
Oh, I love that question. Oh, I laughed my ass off when I saw that.
I think the world would explode from too much ego.
Totally. That's the breaking of the seventh seal right there, as we all know. And, you know, the apocalypse is upon us and, you know, meet your new overlords.
Okay.
That's that.
I need to rapid fire through a few Baco questions because his were so fucking funny.
Dude's so creative.
Here's a few of his in a row. What if Peter Criss had said no when asked if he'd be willing to wear a dress? What if Paul Stanley had been born with two ears? Would he even be a musician?
Oh, man.
What if Bob Kulick had hair?
Yeah, that kind of goes back to the other question.
What if at least Paul had read the script to Kiss Meets the Phantom?
Somebody should have read it. Somebody.
And last one, what if Paul and Gene let Ace and Peter walk in 1978?
Wow. I don't know. Instead of doing the solo albums, they just say, you know what, Ace and Peter?
You're gone.
Go. You want to leave so bad?
We'll get two other guys.
You want to go solo so bad? You guys go ahead. Boy, I don't know what... That's creates a whole lot of, you know, dimensional time warps there. Yeah. Because then you got to wonder, does Ace and Peter, if they immediately put out albums, are they huge?
I don't think
because Kiss
be
is
huge.
Pretty big still at that time. You know, it wasn't until after that they kind of the decline starts coming in. You know, do they all totally go solo? I mean, that's a tough one.
I'm trying to think. What if Paul and Gene replaced those two with somebody else in 78? I don't think it would have worked. I know Paul and Gene were probably the two main focused members of the group, but I think their fan base was a fan base of all four at the time. I don't think it would have gone over.
No, it probably just sunk them a little bit faster, I think.
Yeah, people wouldn't take them seriously after that. I really don't think so.
Because they were just a few steps away from making sure people didn't take them seriously anyhow. And that would have just put the nail in the coffin a little faster, I think.
And then Todd Austin, our friend Toddzilla, had a few funny ones.
He did have some funny ones.
What if Casey Kasem actually replaced Peter Criss in the band after Kiss Meets the Phantom?
Just on albums, singing the vocals.
Yeah. What if Peter had to duplicate that makeup on the first album cover every night for his whole career?
That's so funny.
He'd still be in the dressing room putting it on.
People don't think about that when you look at that first album cover, how crazy Peter's makeup is.
Yeah, it's very involved. What if they actually liked each other?
That'd be great.
It would be great. What if they all thought Ace's jokes on Tom Snyder were funny?
Why wouldn't they? Everybody else did.
Gene didn't.
I thought they were hilarious. That's the funniest thing ever.
Said, what if Vinnie Vincent had a real handshake and and pants?
And pants.
If you want to know where that story comes from, listen to the conversation with Toddzilla episode we did where Todd reenacts his meeting with Vinnie Vincent at a guitar store.
We just got to get Todd back on the show again just for the hell of it.
He's
just
too entertaining.
Episode whatever. Toddzilla's here for the hell of it.
Let's see. What if Kiss worked with Bob Rock on the next CD? That's from Chad Wagner. I'd love to hear Bob Rock do a Kiss album because I love the his production style. I know some people think, oh, it's so slick and overproduced, but I like instruments to sound massive.
Right.
And
yeah,
he's the guy for that.
Think of Dr. Feelgood. Like if he took the Dr. Feelgood approach to Kiss, I think that'd be good. Can you imagine Michael Wagner doing a Kiss album?
I would love to hear it. We know, although he made it clear he has no interest in doing one.
But he's a master. He could do it even if he wasn't the big. I bet you he'd come out of it being a Kiss fan.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe get Ace in there and let him work, like Michael Wagner, let him work his magic and make them all get along.
Yeah, that would have been tough. Here's a good one. Another one from Dan Miles. What if instead of trying to help Van Halen get their record deal, Gene had convinced Eddie to replace Ace and Kiss instead?
See, and that was always the story, that there was some chance of that happening.
But that's what he was aiming for?
I don't know. Okay, so you look at it like this. Like, if Ace would have left when he did, and instead of bringing in Vinnie Vincent, they brought in Eddie Van Halen. All right, give him some makeup, whatever that is, the Egyptian thing or something else. Eddie Van Halen and Kiss. I can't. It's in a way I can see it, in a way I can't. The way that I can see it is because Vinnie Vincent was a pretty flashy player, and Mark St. John was a really flashy player. Mm-hmm. So that was the vein of music they were kind of going into, having those over the top guitar players. Who better than Eddie Van Halen in a situation like that?
Right, and they were clearly emulating him.
On the other hand, can Gene and Paul exist within a band where somebody might be a bigger star than them? History would tell us no.
No.
You know, history would tell us, what? Beth's a big hit single? We don't like you anymore. You know?
Yeah. Well,
what?
That,
you had the most success out of the solo albums? You're dead to us now. But you have to stay in the band for a little while longer.
Well, in that Mark St. John interview I was talking about earlier, they one of his stories was they would like be in an airport and, you know, they'd get the rock magazines and some of the magazines would be reviews on the new Kiss album.
Yeah.
And like he relayed one story about they're sitting there and Paul's reading this magazine. All of a sudden, Paul throws the magazine and goes, it's another one about you.
Really?
Yeah.
About how much ass Mark St. John's been kicking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Mark's like, that just baffled him because
they're
praising
thing, right?
Your new album and your new guitar player. Why wouldn't you be happy about that? You know,
jeez,
just a lot of insecurity, I guess.
And I got a feeling that if anybody told Eddie Van Halen what he could or couldn't drink, the answer would be fuck off.
Yeah,
you know,
with a capital F. Yeah, there's no way Eddie Van Halen's ego could fit with Gene and Paul's.
He would have maybe humbled them.
Yeah, probably.
He maybe would have humbled him.
He would have been a bigger star than they would, and there's no way they would put up with that.
I don't know about bigger, but on equal par.
Yeah, Eddie Van Halen is a revolutionary musician.
Right. But Eddie Van Halen would not have been allowed. They would have tried to. See, that's why it would never work.
They would have stifled his creativity.
They would have tried to stifle his creativity.
And he would have walked.
So, it would have never ended up working anyway.
Yeah, and Joe Roiland also asked that same question. What if Eddie Van Halen joined the band?
One really kick-ass album, maybe the greatest album of all time. Who knows?
Oh, and here's one that goes back to the Denny Smith intro episode we did. We were talking about the Amazon purchases. Patrick Johnson asks, how long before the public is introduced to Kiss Depends? For those times you want to rock and roll all night and your functions go astray.
Oh, no.
And he also says, when Folger stirs inside of Paul Stanley, what is it that he can actually be?
A circus performer.
Apparently.
I'm guessing. That's it.
Glenn Bennett's got a good one. What if Gene's acting career had become mega successful in the 80s? Would Kiss have just faded away before the 90s?
Boy, that's a tough one too, because you know, that's a really good what if. What if when Gene Simmons took his first movie role away from Kiss, he would have been like heralded as the next great thing in Hollywood?
Mm-hmm.
Would it took away all his time from Kiss?
But then what happens, though, because him and Paul are pretty much equal partners.
Yeah.
So is Paul just screwed? I mean,
well,
then Kiss has to break
because
up.
Because Paul can't replace Gene. No.
Especially in the 80s. There's no way Gene would have allowed that.
But what if Gene became such a huge movie star, he would say, Paul, I'm beyond Kiss now.
You can have it.
You can have
it. You think, he may have done that.
You know, if he was that big. Or, you know, of course, I still get a percentage, but, you know, you may carry on without me. Well, for I am a megastar. I'm the king of the mountain in Hollywood.
King of the mountain. That's a good follow-up, though. Would Kiss be vision? Because, you know, the 80s were all about visuals.
Yeah.
Gene stuck out like a sore thumb in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. He looked terrible.
Would Kiss have been better off with a younger, more attractive looking guy playing bass for Kiss?
In the 80s?
Would they have fit in better?
Yes.
Because he made them look like an old man's band.
Well, take somebody like Bobby Dahl from Poison and stick him in Gene Simmons' spot.
Because Eric and Bruce, they looked passable during that period.
Totally. Yeah,
and
those guys were young enough.
Paul took to it like a fish in water.
Oh, yeah. He was totally there. He was right up there. I remember when I was a young kid and I had the Crazy Nights album, and I'm looking at it, and it's like, oh, man, Gene Simmons' leather jacket and that awesome dragon bass. You know, it looks so cool, you know, this guy. And the girl that the older sister of the friend I had or whatever was like, oh, my God, Paul Stanley's so hot. Mm-hmm. You know, he was just like Paul Stanley. Or yeah. I mean, Paul Stanley was just like, you know, John Bon Jovi or Bret Michaels or anybody
right
else.
In.
He was right all in all that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think if Gene would have made it huge in Hollywood and said, that's it, I'm out of the rock and roll, I'm a movie star now, which I believe he totally would have done.
If he had taken off, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he didn't care about Kiss during that
time. No, Kiss was a launching board to get him to get somewhere else, even bigger than
Kiss.
Kiss
was his steady day job, and then Hollywood was his dream.
Yeah.
I think he always wanted to be bigger on like the big screen.
Oh, totally.
And he probably still feels
otherwise
that way.
He wouldn't have tried to do any of that stuff. Why even try it if you're not, you know, trying to be the best at it?
And that's why when...
That's Gene Simmons' way.
And that's another question. Here's my own what if, like, or just hypothetical question. And, you know, because remember I was talking about Gene's return to rock and roll in 1992 with Revenge.
Yeah.
Was that a conscious effort to go back to rock and roll, or was that because acting roles had dried up and he had kind of lost any clout he had in Hollywood? Maybe he was forced to go back into rock and roll.
Maybe a little bit of both, you know, because, you know, Gene Simmons did not become the huge movie star.
And he had been given it almost a decade at that point.
Yeah. So now he knows, you know, at this point, eventually there's got to be a point that you get to and say, okay, you know, I had some great experiences here. You know, this was a lot of fun. I got to make some movies. You know, doors open to do stuff again in the future. But I'm not Tom Cruise. You know, I'm not George Clooney. I'm not making that kind of money.
He made a movie with George Clooney.
Yeah, you know, or I'm not Tom Selleck, you know. But you get to that point where it's like, okay, time to, you know, get back to work now. You know, it's like going on vacation. You
right.
know, vacation sucks when it's over, but sometimes it's time just to come home and go back to work.
Maybe. Another good
but
one.
But I'm not wearing any more fluorescent bullshit. I'm coming back, but no more face makeup. No more shaving every day, Paul. You're not going to make me shave every day before we go out and go on stage and make appearances. I'm going to grow some scruffy a little bit. I'm going to wear this dirty leather jacket, and I'm going to look like the best Gene Simmons can look like without the makeup on.
And not be Arthur.
And not be Arthur.
So another good one from Glenn Bennett. This is kind of funny. What if we found out that Evil Kiss actually won the battle in Phantom of the Park, and that totally explains the Dynasty Unmasked and Elder run of albums that followed?
You know, you never see Ace Frehley's hands on any of those album covers.
So it's Evil Paul's hand on the Elder cover.
Totally. Yeah. Otherwise it'd be black, right?
It blows me away how many times the Elder comes up on these what if questions.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, you know, because that is a big changing point in the trajectory of Kistery. A huge point.
Yeah, let's see. Nick Tavellis asks, what if Peter never got fired? Up to that point, apparently, everything was decided by a four-way vote with Ace and Peter always sticking together. But when Peter was no longer there, Ace effectively was always overruled and had no say in band-related matters.
I don't think we would have seen the Elder, that's for sure.
No, we wouldn't have.
I don't know how... Again, Ace and Peter both dead within the week. I don't see how it could have, you know, because so then I guess hypothetically we're saying what if Peter would have been the perfect bandmate, you know, and not cause all the problems that he did, or, you know, the rift between him and his bandmates would have never happened if he would have been happy within the group. If nobody wanted him to leave and he didn't want to leave, I don't, that's just so hard to imagine, because I guess Kiss would have probably, boy, I don't know. I guess they would have eventually took off their make that it would have been no different, I guess.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Because, I mean, you think about it, at that point, even with Peter, with the Elder, they still don't have no direction.
Mm-mm.
You know, they're still probably, Peter's probably still playing right along with the same stuff as, you know, Anton did on Dynasty and Unmasked.
I mean, I guess Paul and Gene really were the deciders of direction, so maybe they still would have made it. But
until they throw their hands up in the air and say, here you go, Bob, you know, you tell us what this album's going to be.
And then Bob's like, it's going to be a concept.
Yeah. Only I can see it in my mind.
Chop another line, Bob.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Ace Frehley.
No, come here, come here. Come
action! Go.
Turn around. Look, it's rock and roll!
Throw another log in the fireplace. It's Kissmas in July.
All right, you are listening to the Decibel Geek Podcast, having a little fun today. You know, we're not really trying to piss nobody off or cause any kind of controversy or cause outrage within the Kiss Army or anything like that. That's not us. We like to celebrate Kiss. It is Kissmas in July. You know, not trying to start no problems, just having a little fun today. And I like that. I like it when you guys interact with us and give us stuff to talk about. It's a two-way street here. You know, we try to entertain you, but you guys definitely entertain us too. And I know one thing that you guys love very much about the show, obviously, is the fact that it's free. We made that pledge a long time ago. It was going to be free, always free, never not free. Don't want to charge nobody for it. So if you want to help us out, here's a great way to do it. At DecibelGeek.com, we've got a link that takes you to Amazon. It's a special magical link, because when you use this special link, anything you buy, no matter what it is, no matter what you want to get, because of course they've got it all, but whatever it is you get, they give us a little kickback here at the Decibel Geek Podcast. Helps us out a little bit, you know? We got to do what we can to pay the bills, doing what we can to get by, and so you guys can help us out by doing that, and a lot of people have been doing it. So let me tell you about some of the things that have recently been purchased on Amazon through the Decibel Geek link. A Thule Parkway 2 rear mount bike rack. That's nearly $200. See, that ain't got nothing to do with rock and roll, but it's a high dollar purchase, so it helps us out a lot. The more expensive the item, the more it helps us. You get it. It's easy. Here's some cool stuff. A Kiss Mini Icons iron-on patch. That's cool. I wonder if it's Mini Kiss. That'd be really cool. And also a Max Power 21-inch lawnmower blade. See, even not wanting to drive up to the Home Depot is a good excuse to use the link to Amazon at DecibelGeek.com. Now, of course, it's the Decibel Geek Podcast, and when people are going through our link, the thing they're after the most is music. And man, you guys always pick out some cool stuff. This week, some of the musical choices purchased at Amazon through the Decibel Geek link include the self-titled debut of Blue Murder. That's awesome. Scorpions, Humanity Hour 1 and Worldwide Live. Thin Lizzy, the Jailbreak LP. I've actually got that on LP. That's cool. Joe Satriani, Shockwave Supernova. Nice, can't go wrong with that. Here's a band called Black Welder. One word, Black Welder. Survival of the Fittest. Somebody check that out and let me know what it's about. Otherwise, I'll have to check that out myself. Nice, look at this. Death Angel, Thrash Eumenturi. That's got to be cool. Even if you're not a huge, you know, thrash metal fan, that's got to be an awesome story. Remember Death Angel? They did a cover of Cold Gin back in the day. That was cool. Judas Priest, Unleashed in the East LP. That's a nice addition to the collection there. And what? Yes. Union Live. What is this? This is crazy. Yes, every single week somebody's buying Yes through the Decibel Geek link. We don't play no Yes here. I think Zinzak's messing with us. He wants to do a special Yes episode. You'll have to let him know what you think about that. Another cool thing that I need to let you know about, if you don't already know, is HK Collectibles Inc. Our good friend Daryl Alber. Have I been saying Albers all this time? No, it's Daryl Alber. He's got some great stuff this week over at HK Collectibles Inc. Amazon store. And over there, you'll find some cool stuff like some Kiss tickets from the Hot in the Shade tour, the Asylum tour, and the reunion tours. I was thinking about this, you know. Imagine that you went to one of these shows back in the day, you know, and they tore your ticket in half and it looks like garbage, or you had such a good time that night, you lost it. You could go to HK Collectibles Inc., and see if maybe he's got the ticket from the show that you went to. Then you could have it. How cool is that? He's also got an awesome ticket from the Monsters of Rock show in Switzerland in 1984. That's the show that had the lineup of Van Halen, AC/DC, and Motley Crue. That's awesome. Get this stuff and so much more by going to decibelgeek.com, clicking on the HK Collectibles Inc. banner, and it's going to take you straight there. Tell them we sent you, and have a good time. Hey, Kissmas in July is just about over, but we've got a little more talk to go. Again, thanks to everybody that's submitted some suggestions for us to talk about. We couldn't have done it without you, and enjoy the rest of Kissmas in July.
This one is a good one. This is from Dustin Lytle, who's a listener and also has a cool show called Music the Lifeblood.
Cool.
This is, what if Burn Bitch Burn became their biggest single, eclipsing Beth and I Was Made for Loving You, thus causing a chain reaction in the Kiss apparatus, shifting the emphasis to Gene as the de facto figurehead of the band through the 80s, culminating in Paul's absence from being focused on the band.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, okay. So let's say, like, instead of the Paul Stanley songs always being the singles, it would always been a Gene Simmons song.
Oh, God.
Gene would have never done any acting because he would have been like, oh, well,
I'm a huge star.
Yeah, I'm a huge star. I'm the leader. I'm the band leader of Kiss. Everybody's taking it backstage to me. I'm basically like Alice Cooper. It's Gene Simmons featuring Kiss now. That's totally what
I don't even
happen.
Know what to say to that. I can imagine you're right about Paul being absent from being focused on the band, because there's only so many times you can listen to Logs and Fireplaces and it's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it and shit like that. No, although Paul had plenty of horrible lyrics during that time too. It's one
but
of those.
Look at it. Would Kiss have been like more along the veins then of like Lizzie Borden or maybe Alice Cooper of that time kind of stuff? Like Gene would have taken on more of like a scary frontman kind of a role, like an Ozzy Osbourne almost.
He'd have to put the makeup back on to pull that off because he didn't look really scary on
his
own.
No, he sure didn't. He would have had to get scarier looking.
He looked like a dude selling diamonds in Midtown Manhattan or something. I don't know.
Watches out of the inside of his jacket.
Right, yeah. And hopefully wearing clothes under it.
Yeesh.
Lee Conrad from Kistry Science Theater. That's a good show. Says, what if Kiss only used the character monikers instead of names right from the beginning, i.e. the Demon, the Catman, the Star Child, and the Spaceman?
So they would have never gone under their names. They would have just been, their wrestling names.
What do you think about that?
Wow, man, I don't...
It would have made replacing members a lot easier.
That's true. Because
this is our new Demon. Or
this is the Demon. What do you mean, what happened to the Demon? The Demon's right there, you know? What do you mean, what happened to the Catman? He's right there. Like, that's a different guy. It's the Catman. Yeah, it would have been a lot easier. You never have to explain what happened to the old guy.
Let's see. BJ Cramp, after seeing a lot of responses, a lot of them snarky, says, mm-hmm. What if only the funny Kiss fans tried to be funny? Well played.
Yes, but to be a fan of Kiss, you have to have a sense of humor sometimes.
I'll see.
For sure.
Mike Tyler says, what if Peter Criss didn't have his horrible car accident, which hampered his playing ability that made him ultimately lose his position in the band?
I don't know if his playing ability ever really too much came into factor when it came to him leaving the band. I think it more had to do with his attitude than anything, because you can recover from an accident. You know, you can work hard and come back from that and be a great drummer again in most cases. You know, the attitude, it's, you know, it was all about his bad attitude at the end.
And a lot of that was fueled by the addiction problems.
Right.
You know, it made him unpredictable.
Yeah.
When Peter's straight, he's a pretty easygoing guy from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Like, look at him at these autograph signing shows he does. He's completely clean now, and he's just a joy to be around.
Right.
But when Peter's getting fucked up, you don't know what person you're going to get from minute to minute.
Sure. And had he not been getting messed up, would he have, you know, gotten in that accident and said, this is the most terrible thing that's ever happened to me. It's taken me away from what I love the most, being in KISS and playing drums, and I'm going to work my ass off to get back and be better than ever. You know,
yeah.
That could have changed the whole trajectory there, too.
Yeah, I know. It's
There's a lot of what ifs when it comes to this.
I mean,
band.
This is almost frustrating to record because it's just like, damn, I wish I could see how it would have played out.
Right?
You know?
Yeah, we had a little button we could push, and it would all, you know, show how it could have went.
Yeah, let's
alternate realities.
I'll try to find some other good ones in here. There's a lot of good ones, though. I'm having to kind of sift through a lot of interesting stuff. All right, here's Scott Lull. What if Paul's voice was as strong today as it was 20 years ago? Would the current KISS set list still be the same?
I don't know. I guess it would be unlimited what they could do. Maybe KISS would be one of those bands that are a little more, you know, say, not so strict in their set list. They'll be like, you know, let's just play it fast and loose tonight and see, you know, what do you want to play? What do you want to do tonight? Let's do something different. Let's surprise people. You know, obviously, with the limitations, you're limited, you know, to the songs that you can and can't play. So, mm-hmm. You know, and one of the complaints on KISS is that their set lists are pretty predictable a lot of the times.
Oh, yeah, we could do a whole talk on that.
And so if they had the ability to play anything they wanted to play, I think they probably would.
But like, yeah, you got it. It all breaks down to what is their motive for the set list staying the
right.
way it is. If it's because of
Who's
Paul's
the
voice,
yeah.
Then maybe it is. But the way, and I hate to have a bummer statement like this, but it's, I think it's true. They're not pushing to us. They already get our money.
Right.
They're pushing to people who don't know much about them. So therefore,
so they
they're presenting
too.
they're presenting the set list and show that is, this is the best commercial for making you into a
right.
fan.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
So that's where they're coming from.
And that sucks for somebody that's already a fan.
Well, business-wise, it makes perfect sense.
Sure.
And it's why they're still playing arenas.
It's like, we already got your money, but we want their
yeah.
money too, so we have to indoctrinate them into what you already understand. Even if that means alienating you a little bit,
right.
you'll get over it.
Well, because we're still going to spend money on them.
Yeah.
And we typically do. I'm just speaking as a general KISS fan.
Depends on what it is.
Yeah, but I mean,
I prefer to spend my money on KISS music.
Oh, I do too. But like, people still go to the shows, and even a lot of them that bitch about the set list still buy tickets and go
right.
to the show.
And a lot of people that aren't even KISS fans still go to these shows, and you know, they do become KISS fans because of it. So,
although what irritates me is, like, I'm not a giant Pearl Jam fan, but you have to face facts. Pearl Jam is one of the biggest rock bands in the world right now.
Right, and have been for a long time.
And mix their setup every single night.
Yeah.
They'll open the show with a ballad. They don't give a fuck.
Right.
And they, because that's one of the things, this is a good discussion, because one thing that I hate is that, and Paul Stanley in particular, seems very embarrassed by a lot of the band's catalog. And it still mystifies me. Have you noticed that? Like, there's certain eras and albums that he'll talk about with just disdain.
Well, I mean, they're not going to be busting out a whole lot of anything off of music from the Elder.
No, but it's like he almost has it's just impossible for him to view somebody else's viewpoint. You know, yes, you hate that album, but do you really hate that album because of the material, or do you hate it because it was a flop?
Right. Or do you hate it because of the way the band looked at the time when it came out?
But, I mean, when they made that album, they thought they were doing a piece of genius.
Well, sure. Every album KISS has ever come out with is the best album they ever
right.
did. Every one of
They're
them.
They're all a mix of Destroyer and whatever else. You know, all of them. I remember hearing interviews for Crazy Nights that Crazy Nights was a mix of Destroyer and Creatures of the Night.
Yeah, okay.
Really?
And then something crazy happened.
Yeah. I don't know. But Paul seems very, like, unproud of a lot of their material.
Yeah.
He likes a handful of songs, and that's what makes the set.
Do you think he only likes the songs that people come up and say, I love that song. I heard it, you know, here the other day, or I heard it there the other day. I love that song. Is that what makes the difference?
He doesn't care what other people think. He likes what he likes, and he sticks with it.
This is what I think.
This is why Love Gun will always be in the set.
Yeah.
Because he views that as the best song he's ever written.
I think Love Gun almost should always be.
It might be the best song. I love the song. Yeah. I don't have a problem with it being in the set. Well, these days he can't really pull it off. But stuff like all on the Rock the Nation tour, they did Lover All I Can from Dressed to Kill.
That's cool. I like that.
Tommy and Eric had to push like hell to get him to allow that song in the set list, and he admits it. He hates the song. He's never liked the song. But I guess, you know, I'm trying to, if I turn
it's not,
my...
It's not one of their best songs.
But it's a cool song. Bad. It's got a double solo in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess if I turn my fanboy switch off, I guess I can see why. Because it's like, it's his band. He can play what he wants.
Sure, of course.
But
and he will.
But it's kind of like, don't use that PR line of we do everything for our fans and our fans are the bosses. You know, when
you just need more bosses.
You're not listening to them on the set list.
Right. Yeah.
Because there's a lot then, they could do
with
that. But
then when they go do the Kiss cruise, then they bust out the oddball stuff.
Yeah, if you pay $1,200, you can get a set
but
list
then
you
again,
want.
It's like it's playing to your audience. You know, you go on the Kiss cruise, you know these people paid a lot of money. They are hardcore Kiss fans. They don't want to hear Rock and Roll All Night. You know, they don't want to hear Shout It All Out again. You know, but of course they're going to play it because even out of those hardcore Kiss fans, there's still some in there that do want to hear those overplayed songs.
Well, if I'm in an arena, you got to close the show with it.
Sure.
I mean, it's the best ender for a show.
I wish I had a dollar every time they played
it. Sure. Although I have seen a show where they didn't play it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here in Nashville,
the Gibson Guitar
yeah.
show. They ended with Heaven's on Fire.
That's cool, man.
Which was a cool ender.
Yeah, I bet.
All right, let's get in. Let's just do. You want to do two more? Because we're up about an hour.
We got
already.
Ours.
But we have our own.
Yeah, you got your own, don't you?
Oh, I didn't come up with my own.
Oh, I thought you said you had your own.
Well, I brought mine up through this.
Oh, okay. Well, mine. You want mine?
Yeah.
Well, mine was the one that I was thinking of was what if when they came out with the solo albums, if they were hugely popular. Mm-hmm. Like if it was on Billboard 1, 2, 3, and 4, you know, they were just the biggest albums that came out at the time. They were what Kiss expected them to be.
Right.
What Casablanca expected them to be. Everything they shipped sold. Mm-hmm. How crazy would the world of Kiss be after that?
Do you think they would have split up?
They would have to, right? I mean,
I don't think they would have, though, because, I mean, it would
Could they have coexisted after that?
Well, I mean, Casablanca and management would have wanted to keep them together because it was all marketed as a Kiss product.
Right, but then wouldn't they... What if Casablanca seen it as, okay, now we have four Kiss revenues coming in. We send these guys out with their own bands and go on their own tours.
I don't know that it would have worked.
And we're making quadruple the money now because they're each as popular on their own as they were together. And then down the line, we'll try to reel them back in for a reunion.
I mean, it's plausible, but I don't know.
Because you got to figure Ace would have probably had a band. Paul would have probably had a band. Mm-hmm. Peter probably would have done the Ringo Starr thing at the time where he's got the white microphone in the nice
leisure suit
and he's standing up on the oval thing and they got the singers over in the background over there and the orchestra over on this side, big band jump style. And Gene, again, probably just would have went to Hollywood, right?
Probably.
Unless they forced him to go on tour because his album sold so well.
Maybe. It's an interesting thought.
That's a pretty good
one. Would they keep the makeup and costumes on, though? Or would they just be themselves?
There you go. That's a good what if. Because then, what do you do? Have, like, Ace in his costume with the makeup and everything, and then a couple of dudes without makeup
and
sitting
Steve
around
Steve back there with his t-shirt on?
Anton on the drums. Will Lee on the bass.
Well, there's a lot of fans that want Ace to do that now.
Yeah?
That want him to throw the makeup and costume on and still do it.
But, and then have just regular guys playing the red. That'd be weird, though.
It would be weird.
It'd be cool, but it'd be weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Wow,
I never really thought about that.
Ace needs to work out a little bit before he does that again. That'd be like me throwing his costume and makeup on. That ain't happening.
Hey, we all get older. What are you going to do? You know?
I like this one from Dan Piles.
It's like we can all talk shit about Paul Stanley's voice if we want to, and we can all talk about Ace Frehley's belly, but we all get older. You know, it happens.
That's part of life.
It happens to
us. I'm just glad Ace is healthy and clean now, because he deserves it.
And I still think Space Invader is freaking awesome.
No, I love the album. This is from Dan Piles. He says, what if Bruce / Caitlyn Jenner recorded a cover of Beth but changed it to Seth and it became a staple at gay weddings?
I don't know. I just don't know. It's good, I guess, maybe.
Oh,
is
man.
That good for Kiss if that happens?
He had tongue firmly Chris? In cheek when he did that. And this one's good.
Peter Criss paints an extra teardrop.
Yeah. Scott Lowell says, what if Wicked Lester had been successful? LOL, having a hard time keeping a straight face with this scenario.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there were a lot of weird bands like that at that time that were successful.
It just shows how bad the early 70s was for rock music.
Yeah.
You know,
because actually, to me, if you look at some of those other bands that were along the lines of Wicked Lester, Wicked Lester was better than some of them bands that were actually making money back then.
Some of them.
Some of it.
But it's,
you know,
just, it's just a murky period for music.
Yeah.
And
that's why Kiss became what they were, to not have to be Wicked Lester.
That's a case where, like, you know, I'll disagree with Paul and Gene's decisions on stuff stylistically, but they are dead on right about why they split up Wicked Lester.
Yeah.
It was a mishmash of whatever was popular at the time, and they were trying to rip it off.
It was like the anti-Kiss. They were being the band they've seen a million times.
Yeah. So my hat's off to them for doing that.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Especially with
the bottom of our hearts.
Certain bandmates that you guys dropped like a bad habit, and I'm glad you did in hindsight. Moving on from that, let's do one more listener question or listener what if. And I like this one because I've thought about this one a lot. What if, well, this is from Ryan Sessions.
Cool.
What if an actual farewell tour was announced tomorrow?
Give me a ticket.
You would go one more
time.
Damn
right. If it was like you're talking about a real farewell with Ace and Peter back in? Or
not, what if it's not like with Ace and Peter? What's the current band and they just say, this is the last time we're going out?
I guess give me a ticket.
I would still go.
Yeah, give me a ticket. I'll go.
I guess I would go just because if I knew for a fact that that was it. But then those guys tricked us 15 years ago, too.
They all do. Ozzy, Scorpions.
Oh, no,
they
it's
all
nothing
do.
New. I was listening to an old Howard Stern interview with Gene from like the mid-2000s.
Yeah.
Or a few years ago, actually. And Howard goes, is it true that Kiss has done a bunch of reunion or a bunch of farewell tours? And Gene goes, yep, it's true.
He just was straight up about it, huh?
Yeah. But, I mean, they haven't labeled anything the farewell tour since the farewell tour.
But I guess, you know, if you look in the really, really, really small print, it just says to Ace Frehley at the bottom of that one.
Well,
on the tour posters.
But the whole farewell tour thing, like, Kiss fans give them so much shit over that. It was like, the Stones have done that every 10 years for 50 years.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, it's still, it doesn't make it right.
No, it doesn't make it right. And I went, and I bought it hook, line, and sinker in 2000.
Sure,
and I
you
went,
had to go because
and I even got a
the
little,
last chance.
I even got a little misty-eyed during the show going, man, this I'm going to miss this.
Yeah.
So I guess I shouldn't be upset that they brought it back. It's one of those things, it's like, what are you being upset about that the thing that you love so much is still around?
Right, exactly. You know, that's like the Scorpions. They said they planned on it being their farewell tour. And then they went out there and the response was so great and people said, please don't go. And so they said, you know, how can we?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm glad it wasn't the end of Kiss. You know, it is. I don't like when a band says this is our farewell tour and then it's not. That's kind of lying. Lying to your fans.
Do we think that they're going to go until one of them dies?
I hope not.
I get the feeling that they're planning the end right now. Because Gene has mentioned in a couple interviews over this year, 2015, that I can't do this forever.
Right.
And I know I've got maybe a tour or another tour in me, but I'm not crazy enough to think that I'm going to do this forever.
And at some point, these guys are going to want to be able to have some time in their lives to stop and enjoy all the work, you know, the fruits of the labors from all these years.
It's amazing, you know, that they haven't done
that.
Yeah,
I mean, can you imagine being in a band that is so loved that you feel like you can't retire,
mm-hmm.
even though maybe you'd like to? You know, like, I'd like to just retire and go spend time with my wife and travel the world and do all the things that we want to do because we can afford it, because I've worked so hard for all these years and delivered all these albums, and the fans love us so much that we can't retire. Now we owe it to them to keep going, even though we're freaking 65 years old, you know? What do you guys want from us?
Well, the fact that Gene is saying that in interviews tells me that there's a plan in place for them to be done.
Yeah.
Because he's never said anything like that in the past. Hmm. Even back in 2000, he never said that.
No, I'd be like, oh, I don't
He would always do the never say never thing back then.
Right.
And he'd be like, well, I'd be crazy if I said it's never possible that we'll get back together again or do something again. Right. Now he's like, I'm not crazy enough to think I can keep doing this. So
Which makes the fact that they couldn't play together at the Hall of Fame just for a handful of songs even sadder.
Well, that just came off kind of petty.
I would like to have seen them no makeup, just the four.
That's
of
what
them
I wanted.
Busting out four play or five
Deuce.
Songs. Deuce, Let Me Go Rock and Roll. You know,
just play in street clothes without all the stuff.
Yeah, wrap it up with and rock and roll. If you
although
like you
maybe the
to.
Hall of Fame's at fault for that, because from what I hear, they wanted the originals, but the requirement was you got to do it in costume and makeup.
Yeah.
And Paul and Gene are probably like, you know, those guys aren't in the band with costume and makeup right now. It's not
right.
fair.
That's true.
So I honestly did feel bad for Eric and Tommy during that whole debacle.
Feel bad for everybody, yeah. including Vinnie Vincent.
And Bruce. Bruce. I was just like, you know, I thought Bruce deserved to get inducted.
Totally. Yeah.
I think everyone deserves to get inducted.
Because everybody had a pretty important part
to play.
It's
all part of it.
And that's how what we discover here today when we talk about this stuff is how important Kiss is to you, me, and you know, so many of our listeners that love Kiss so much that it's so much fun to sit here and wonder what if, you know, certain things would have happened and how the course of history could have changed throughout the years through small, minuscule little events,
yeah.
you know, that it's a beautiful thing to be Kiss fans of this extent. I feel like a real Kiss fan.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, there's no band that you can pick apart so much like this one. Maybe the Beatles, but Kiss is, there's so much interesting history with the different lineups and different things they've gone through, and there's 40 plus years to look at. So,
you know, maybe there are some other bands, you know, in different parts of the year we could do what-ifs with.
I'd do one on Alice Cooper.
Yeah, you could even do one with Metallica mm-hmm. or Guns N' Roses. That'd be a fun one.
Maybe,
very interesting. Yeah. I think we might be onto something here.
But I think this was a fun way to close out Kissmas in July. And,
it's always best to try it first with Kiss. If it works with Kiss, then it might work with other things.
But you Kiss fans came through with some really, really good scenarios.
Really good stuff. I mean,
stuff I would have never even thought of.
Totally. This has been awesome. And as always, Kissmas in July has been awesome. And, you know, thank everybody that's been a part of it, all the writers at the website.
Yeah,
those guys.
Articles.
Turn Decibel Geek into KissmasInJuly.com for a month, and we loved every moment of it. You know, and of course, you guys stick with us through the rest of the year because
a lot of stuff planned.
We're the Decibel Geek Podcast. We're always going to do Kiss stuff. One way or another, those guys are going to be involved in it somehow, whether they like it or not.
We bring them up every week in one way or another. And we got a lot of exciting stuff the rest of the year. We're so glad you hung out with us this month, and we really appreciate it.
Do we have a huge announcement next week?
We do.
Oh, yeah. Huge announcement.
It's a huge announcement of something that we're going to be doing that's new, and some of you will jump on board, and it'll be a lot of fun. Otherwise, same old every week. Good show coming out every week.
Free to you every week. iTunes and all the other great places you can get it.
Announcement of something a little extra next week. A
lot of extra.
So we'll see you next week.
Yes. It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.